Hafa day, and welcome to Harvest Echoes from Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Since our founding in 1975, pastors, evangelists, and missionaries have traveled from all over the world to Guam to speak to our people, preaching and teaching the Word of God. We're providing you access to this rich archive of sermons and lessons on Harvest Echoes. Our mission is to help people develop a heart for God. These messages, presented in conferences and special services at Harvest, seek to point you toward the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. Today, a message from Dr. John Vaughn. It was presented in October of 2009. The title of the message, Let Patience Have Her Perfect Work.
My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now here's what those verses are saying to us, that we not only can act happy, we can actually learn to rejoice when we go through many different kinds of trials, tribulations, heartbreaks, and painful experiences. Why? We can do that because God uses those things to bring us to spiritual maturity, to help us grow and understand Him better. It's the trying of our faith that works patience. Now, sometimes people have the idea that it's the trial of our patience that gives you faith. But that's not what the verse says. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the Word of God. When we hear what the Bible says with a heart to obey, God actually produces faith in our hearts. But sometimes the thing He uses to drive us to the Word so that we will listen to what He has to say is the problem in our life to which we do not know the answer. Does that make sense? In other words, God has given us here in this book a book of answers. And all that remains is for the problems of life to supply the questions. So when we have problems and questions and we come to God's Word, He gives us answers, and that strengthens our faith. And as our faith grows and continues to go through trials, we learn that the trying of our faith works patience. But when He tells us, let patience have her perfect work, what He's saying to us is, let patience really make the difference in your life so that you can make the difference in the lives of others. If we're ever going to make a difference in the lives of other people, God has to make a difference in our lives. And the way the difference is made in our lives is by learning the patience, the grace under pressure that makes us what we ought to be. Someone said to me one time that the difference between gold, silver, and precious stones, the Bible talks about those, you know, and wood, hay, and stubble, is that wood, hay, and stubble that stays under the pressure long enough actually becomes a precious stone. That's how diamonds are made. If you take the carbon of wood, hay, and stubble, put it under pressure and heat and leave it there long enough, it'll become something that's very valuable and very precious. The problem with human life today is that so many people want to get out from under the pressure and out from under the pain and escape the difficulties of life. And their prayer focuses on, God, give me relief so that I can feel better, instead of, God, give me grace so that I can be better. And that's the heart of this whole idea of letting patience have her perfect work. Here in verses 2 through 8, we've only read a few of those verses so far. Those verses tell us about what we might call the school of life. Now, whether or not you go to a classroom and sit in front of a teacher, you are in school as long as you're alive. You're in God's school. And the Holy Spirit Himself is your teacher. And this is your textbook. And you will have tests, just like you did when you were in school before. So understanding these verses are talking to us about God's school of life. What He's teaching us is patience, or we might call it brokenness, that brings us to spiritual maturity and usefulness. Now, when you enroll in school, one of the first things that you do when you go into the classroom is you meet your teacher. Remember when the first time you ever went to school? I can still remember my experiences as a little bitty first grader, just 5 years old. I had no idea who the teacher was. And when we walked in there and met our teacher, she immediately let us know, I'm your teacher, and this is your desk, and you sit there and do exactly what I tell you. So I did. And don't even talk unless you raise your hand and I speak to you first. Remember those days? You know how I felt the first day of school? I was afraid. Have you ever been afraid of your teacher? Because you know your teacher knows some things that you don't. And somehow the teacher was selected by someone you haven't met to be in charge of the classroom. The teacher's in charge and you're not. So you have to obey and you have to listen. And then you begin to look around the room and you see other students that are the same age as you are, and you wonder if they'll like you and you wonder if you'll like them. And you're in this uncertain environment. That's the first day of school. You meet your teacher. And then the teacher says, all right, now this is your desk. All right, students, open your desk, and inside your desk, what do you find? Books. And you look at those books and you think, I had no idea there was going to be this much work involved in school. Maybe there was an arithmetic book. Not my best subject. And I would take my arithmetic book, and you know what I would do? I would open it up to the middle, and I would see all of these exercises in there. And you know what they call those exercises? Problems. Now, I've met my teacher. I'm afraid of her. She's going to give me problems, which I don't know the answer to. And that's school. So she starts giving us some answers to our problems, and we start working these problems out, and we start learning from our teacher. And then one day, we come in, and she has a surprise for us. She gives us a test. And all of a sudden, the things I had learned to enjoy about school were no longer the main emphasis. Now, I'm going to be given tests from the things I'm supposed to learn from my book that my teacher's teaching me. Now, here's, I think, one of the reasons that school is organized like that. Because life is organized like that. When you come to know the Lord, you find that He's your teacher. He's the one who's going to teach you the things you need to know in life. And then He gives you a book. And if you open it up to the middle, around, say, the last few chapters of Ezekiel, and you start reading it, you'll think, I'll never be able to do this. I will never be able to understand this. What does this mean? And then you find out that God's actually going to give you some tests in your life. And you're going to be tested to see if you've really learned or listened to what God has to say to you in this book. And you find out that life is very much like school. And in the same way that school teaches you that you just have to patiently go through every year, and then the next year, and then the next year, so is life that way. Remember when you finished the first grade and you thought, whew, glad I got that behind me. Glad that's over. There were certain parts of it I really liked. And your aunts and uncles would say, what do you like about school? Well, I like to use my crayons, and I like to color pictures, and I like art class, and I like recess when we go out and play. Remember that? And the reason you said that is because that was the truth. You really did enjoy those parts. Lunch, things like that. But the rest of that, I don't know. I'm glad all that's over. Then you come back next year, and you know what they do? they give you even harder problems. And that continues. Every year you go back to school. And then one day you graduate and you get your diploma and you think, boy, now my problems are over. They aren't, are they? You go out and you get a job or join the military or get married or, you know, you buy something that costs more than you can afford, and then you've really got problems, don't you? And you begin to find out that all of life is like that. And then one day somebody gives you the gospel and you think, you know, sin is a problem and I've got that problem and I don't know what to do about it. And maybe somebody told you, well, you should stop doing that and you should start trying to be a better person. And so you decided you were going to be a better person and stop your sinning. But lo and behold, what happened? You couldn't. You didn't really know the answers. You didn't know how to solve that problem by yourself. So you had to start listening. Somehow somebody invited you to a church and you come here and they open up this book and they explain it to you. And it begins to make sense. But you still have tests. And sometimes you don't know what to do about those tests. You don't know how to get through with them. You find out you have an illness, or you find out that you have a financial problem, or there's a difficulty in your relationship with the person you're married to, or the person you wish you were married to, or whatever it might be. And you find out that even Christian people who solve their sin problem by trusting Christ still have lots of other problems in life. And it just keeps on going throughout your life. And you say, when do we graduate? When do we get finished with all this? The graduation that we're looking forward to is the graduation from the school of this life into glory with the Lord, into heaven itself. Now, let's make some applications here. We said sometimes students are afraid of the teacher. And there in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 8, it goes on to say, to help us understand this, if you'd like to look at those verses, verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. But let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Now what does this teach us? This teaches us that when we need information that we can only get from God, we have to know who God is and know that we can ask Him for the help that we need. That's how salvation starts. We must believe that there is a God. And if you believe in God, you must believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. We are to simply ask Him. There's a word that I've jotted down here called supplication that I want you to think about, because supplication is a particular kind of prayer that's other than just asking for something. Supplication is a word which means to ask a king for something that he has already promised to give to his subjects. What does that mean? That means if we have dedicated our lives to serving God and we need something in order to serve Him, He's already told us if we'll go to Him and ask Him for what we need to serve Him, He will give it to us. Now, our experience has been that when we think we need something or when we want something for our own purposes and we hope He'll give it to us, we go and ask Him and then we don't get it and then we think, why, He's not going to answer my prayers anyway. James goes on to explain in chapter 4 that we have not because we ask not, or we ask and receive not because we ask amiss, that we may consume it upon our lusts. It's the trial of our faith that produces patience. We're not merely to guess at the answers to our tests. Have you ever done that? Have you ever gone to school ill-prepared? You didn't do your lessons. You didn't study your book. You didn't know the answers. And the test was given, and so you just guessed at the answer? And if you guessed right and you made a good grade, how did you feel? You said, whew, I'm not as dumb as I thought I was. No, you're dumber than you thought you were. If you're proud of the fact that you guessed the right answer, what did you just learn? That I don't ever have to do my homework. You see, you should have learned, oh boy, next time I'm going to be ready for that test. But because we escape the consequences of our decisions, or because we get out of our problems, somehow we think, I'm a really clever person, and we don't learn the lesson at all. We have a teacher, a comforter. The Bible says to us in 1 John chapter 2, that the same anointing which you have of the Father, he shall teach you. You have no need that any man should teach you. What that means is that the Bible can be understood because the author of the Bible lives in you if you're a believer, and he'll help you understand what it means. And if you'll study, he'll get you through. Philippians 4:6 tells us that we're not to worry about anything, but we're to pray about everything. With prayer and thanksgiving, make supplication to the Lord. Go to him and tell him, this is what I need to serve you. Well, students are not only sometimes afraid of their teacher, sometimes they're afraid of their textbook too. Sometimes people will say, well, you know, if you ask them, well, tell me about your Bible reading. What are you learning from your Bible? You know what I will hear Christians say very often? Well, I don't really read it like I ought to. I have a question for you. Why don't you read it like you ought to? If you realize that the Word of God is how He communicates the grace that you appropriate by faith to get your supplications honored, that's how you get the patience, that's how you grow, wouldn't you ask Him for things? Wouldn't you want to know what He had to say to you? If you're a Christian today, you became a Christian by coming to know who Jesus Christ is and what He did for you when He died on the cross for your sins. That's how you became a Christian. And that's also how you become a mature Christian, by coming to know Him better. You meet Him initially at salvation. You meet Him every day in spiritual growth. And that's what's happening when you look into the Bible. The gospel of Jesus Christ is in the Bible. And everything you need for Christian growth is in the Bible too. You need to think of it as the life, breath, and food of the human soul. Now, if I were to say, well, how are you breathing today? Would you say, well, yeah, not breathing like I should, just not breathing like I ought to. Well, how about your eating? Are you eating enough? Well, I'm not eating like I should. Well, if you were to go to the doctor and tell him you're not breathing like you should and not eating like you should, don't you think that would be one of the first things he would want to correct? You need to start breathing. You need to start eating. You need to start taking care of the basic things in your life. And if you ask a Christian, tell me how you're reading your Bible, and they say, well, I'm not reading it like I should, that says that they believe that reading the Bible is something they do to get God's favor, that they're working for God's love. You don't impress God with your Bible reading and memorization. You communicate with God through the Bible and prayer. You develop a relationship with Him. He speaks to you through the Word. You speak to Him in prayer. You're having a living relationship with a person. If you think of Bible reading as some, I have to do my homework type thing, and I really don't like school, I have a former professor who used to say that education is the one thing that people want less of than they paid for. They pay this huge amount of tuition, and then they say, please don't give us any homework. Well, now, wait a minute. You paid for it. Why don't you want to learn? And yet, we come to the Bible with that same attitude. Well, look, I've got a Bible, and I come to church, and I listen to the preacher, but now don't expect me to read it every day. Would you eat that way? Would you come to the grocery and eat 21 meals one day a week and then not eat the rest of the week? That'd be foolish. What you learn when you go to the grocery is how to get food and go home and prepare meals every day. And the same thing's true of the Word of God. Nourish your soul. Meditate on it. Think about it. And as you meditate on what God said about salvation, you come to understand that. As you meditate on what God said about Christian growth, you come to understand that. So, everything that pertains to life, that means eternal life. Everything that pertains to godliness, that means abundant life. That's what those words mean. Everything you need to grow is in this book and communicated to you by God from it. So we've learned one word, supplication. Now we've got another word, meditation. Here's the final word, tribulation. You have to learn to ask your teacher for the help that you need. That's supplication. You have to think about the lessons of the book you've been given. That's meditation. Then you need to prepare yourself for tests and trials. That's tribulation. In this world, ye shall have tribulation. John 16, 33 says, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. The greatest tribulation that has ever been experienced was experienced by Jesus Christ on the cross. Not just his physical suffering, but the bearing of our guilt and shame. Have you ever really, really, really felt guilty? Have you ever really been ashamed of yourself? You take all of the guilt and all of the shame of everyone that's ever lived. That's what Christ experienced while he was physically suffering on the cross. You see, I can't even imagine that. I can't either. I can just begin to understand a little tiny bit of it. And he did that because he loves us. He knows what tribulation is. And he says, you shall have tribulation. And because he went through that tribulation, he can comfort us in our tribulation and encourage us to understand this trial of our faith. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 7, actually. It's in 1 through 9, this text here. But it tells us there that if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. What does that mean? That means that for now, it's necessary for us to go through overwhelming trials of many different kinds, knowing that our necessary trials are temporary. It won't last forever. It might last the rest of our lives, but it won't last forever. It will end someday, but it's not going to end in this life. We're going to graduate and go to heaven someday, and it's all going to be different. You may be having deep, deep problems today. And you say, I just don't know how I'm going to keep going. God does. He'll get you through. He wants you to be broken. He doesn't want you to kick and resist like that big old horse might have done. He wants you to let him gently lead you along. There may be pain. There may be hunger. There may be loss. There may be fear, problems, and difficulties in your life. But God knows about those things. And he will see you through. And he will help you to pass that test. Tests are what force us to do our homework. We know that's true, don't we? Suppose you enrolled in school and they said, let me tell you right now, this school is different. You don't ever have to worry about taking any tests. We're not going to give you any tests. We don't want to warp you psychologically. We don't want to hurt your feelings. We don't want you to stress yourself out. We want you to like this school. And so you're going to be able to come here and we'll never give you a test. And all you have to do is stay here for a few years and then we'll give you a diploma. What kind of an education would you get in a situation like that? Would you really learn anything? No. You'd feel cheated because you would be cheated. There have to be hard lessons in life. Tests are necessary. But remember that tests are temporary. They're just for a little season, a little insignificant space of time. James will say later in chapter 5, for what is your life? It is even a vapor, like the morning mist. It appears for a little time and then it vanishes away as soon as the sun comes up. That's what human life is like. Take a long human life, 90, 100 years. Very few people live to be 100. But go back in history 100 years. Go forward in the future 100 years. What is that in comparison to all of time? Just a moment. Just a moment. I know when we're young, because I used to be, that it seems like life is a very long time. But it's not. It's a very short time. It goes so quickly. I used to hear my grandparents say, when they would see me, "Oh, you've grown." And I thought, I haven't really grown that much. And now I see my own grandchildren. And it's shocking. It is shocking to me to see how they've changed. And I think, I haven't seen you for several months, and now you've visibly gotten bigger and you're older, and it's just shocking to see how quickly time passes. And we just have a little insignificant space of time in which to serve God. Remember, you know how you want time to slow down when you're having a wonderful time? It goes just as quickly when you're having a miserable time. It really does. I was jokingly telling somebody last night that the key to happiness is learning to enjoy your misery. Okay. I mean, I'm being facetious. But my point is, we can learn to rejoice and recognize that life is short. And we're here just for a little time, and eventually we're going to graduate. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. Martin Luther said the three essentials of spiritual life are supplication, meditation, and tribulation. That's where I got those words. And I began to think about this, and think about the fact that God puts us in His school. He introduces us to our teacher. He gives us a book. And then He gives us tests. And we should not be surprised, because everybody in here knows that's the right formula for learning in school. It's also the right formula for learning in life. But I want you to think about this. Meditate on this. And if you didn't understand some of it, ask. There will be a test. I won't be the one giving it, but I assure you, it's coming.
You've been listening to Harvest Echoes and a message titled, "Let Patience Have Her Perfect Work" by Dr. John Vaughn. It was originally presented in October of 2009 at Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Harvest Echoes provides you access to a rich archive of sermons and lessons presented at conferences and special meetings at Harvest Baptist Church. Send us a comment or question by visiting our website, hbcguam.net. hbcguam.net. And thank you for listening to Harvest Echoes.